from the Loving Kindness Sutra. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short, or tall, the seen and unseeing, unseen and unseeing, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none, through anger or ill will, wish harm upon another. So, with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies and downward to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. This is said to be the sublime abiding by not holding to fixed views. The pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is also freed from birth and death. There's this wonderful line in Romeo and Juliet where Romeo has just noticed that there's been fighting in the streets between these two families, these enemy families, a feud that's been going on for thousands of years. And he says that this hatred is just another form of love. I'm going to give you the modern English translations. And he says that hate is a misshapen form of love. And when we talk about that with my classes, we explore the way that the feud continues because people love their families and they identify with their family. They share a name. And in sharing a name, they love those who share that name. And so when someone with that name is hurt or killed, they revile the one who killed them and seek revenge. But Romeo, interestingly, in this part of the play, seems kind of just to be lamenting this endless cycle rather than participating in it. And so later, after he has fallen in love with Juliet from this enemy family, when Tybalt comes, Juliet's cousin, he was at a party and he was on his land. He didn't like that Romeo was on his land. And so he said that he had insulted Tybalt. And Tybalt challenged Romeo. And Romeo responded, in essence, that I love you like you were my own family. And of course, the irony is that at that point he is, because he's married Juliet the night before. Tybalt doesn't know this. And Mercutio, Romeo's friend, sees this as vile submission. This bowing out of this endless war. And so he stands in for Romeo, and he and Tybalt go at it. And Mercutio's killed. Now here's a dear friend of Romeo, killed. And Romeo is drawn in. His love for Mercutio turns into hatred of Tybalt. And he says, my love for Juliet made me, quote, effeminate. Well, if that's what effeminate is, I'll take some of that. But he means weak. What kind of strength would it have taken in that moment for him to feel his love as love? For him to be with his grief and anger and care for them as we do on the cushion here. Rather than enacting them in the world. This world on fire. This practice is not easy. Our practice is not easy. It asks a lot of us, doesn't it? It's asking us to transform the world by transforming our own hearts first. Because there's no other way. What does it mean to save all beings? We vow every week that we will free all beings from suffering. Well, we first have to take responsibility for what's arising in our own hearts. This talk that I'm offering tonight, I want to be clear. This talk is about spiritual practice. That's my training. That's my deep training. It's not intended as a political talk. I'm sure we all have our political opinions, and I'm sure that most of us have expressed them somewhere. That's not what tonight is about. What tonight is about is recognizing what is true in this world and being with it as a practice. I was listening to the radio a little while ago, and there was a child who had been shot 3 times. And the child was screaming out in pain on the radio, and I honestly started to weep. Because the presence of this voice was so visceral, it just penetrated my heart. I bent over in my kitchen and just let tears come. Does it matter whether this child was a child in Ukraine, was a child in Russia, was a child in Gaza, was a child in Israel, was a child in the urban streets, as a child in a rural or suburban neighborhood? Does it matter to the heart? In our tradition, we vow to save all beings. We use different words to express that. Each of them evokes something different, but it's very powerful. Again and again, we vow to liberate all beings, save all beings. We've talked many times before about how we're all part of a single ocean of being. This metaphor, and yet each of us is also a separate wave, a separate drop of water in that ocean, if you will. But we are not separate from that ocean. We are the ocean. One body. We sometimes may think, I can't care for the whole ocean, though. I'm just a single wave. But that's just our dualistic thinking at work again, isn't it? Swept up in the mind stories, narratives about what we are and what we are not. We are the ocean. None of us separate. Each of us boundless, to cite our sutra. Boundless. Boundlessly interwoven. Made of each other, shared being, shared water, interwoven, interpenetrated. Our human illness, we get so swept up in our familial identifications that we kill for them again and again. And the suffering goes on and on. The realization of non-duality is, is salvific, a path for saving all beings. And it begins with you, with me, in our hearts, recognizing that as a drop of water, we contain the ocean, moon in a dewdrop. So what we do matters. You know, we may come at this analytically. We may find ourselves thinking about history. We may find ourselves diving into infinite history, trying to discern who's right and who's wrong, and take a side. It's understandable, everybody has opinions. This Dharma talk is meant for the heart. From my heart to your heart. I think it requires great patience when we're in these kinds of situations, this work of the heart, the centering in the body, the great body of wisdom, this allowing of everything to be here, the brokenness of this world. To allow it to be here, to recognize it, to name it. This is the first noble truth. We suffer and we do this to each other. And I've found that in my life of practice, that this allowing of pain into my heart is so healing. Rather than just getting swept up into my head and my opinions of right and wrong, I don't find very much healing there. I have to let the heart work with things rather than the mind sometimes. Just let all beings live in my heart. Let them all be their vow to save them. Be with that vow. The heart is already boundless. There's nothing we need to do. We're already touched, so deeply touched by this world. Because there's no gap between us and the world. We are the world. The world is in us, and we are in the world. We've done enough philosophy. We've explained the logic of it this way and that. Now the work moves to the heart. Do you let all beings into your heart? All beings. Those who suffer so much that they commit atrocities. Even them, can you let them into your heart? I do know that there but for the grace of God go I. We just get swept up and swept along in our delusions. Our small actions have consequences. You, in this world, we are connected. What you do matters. If you are a voice of war, you contribute to a world of war. What world do we hope for? The smallest actions have unknowable consequences, ripple through the entire ocean. The smallest thing. Offer a little kindness to a little dog who's lost in the street. It matters. You've changed the whole universe with that tiny gesture. You matter. So, do we build a world of love? We save all beings. Because this little drop of water that is you is the ocean. Care for what's in our hearts. Be with it. You know, we call our practice, sometimes we describe it as taking a pause. All that energy rises up. All that anger on its way to becoming hatred, forming rigid identities. And we sit and sit on the cushion with that rigidness, with that stiffness in our gut. And we just bear it. We bear it for the sake of all beings. We don't bear it for ourselves alone. We bear it for the sake of all beings, because what we do matters. We work with this practice of not holding to fixed views. Allow ourselves a little honesty. The honesty of not really knowing. These situations are so complicated, the matters of the heart. Incomprehensible histories. We can't just work with it all up in our head. We have to be the Buddha, each of us, the Buddha, together with all beings. We take responsibility. We practice the Buddha way. This is how we save the world. One breath at a time, one moment at a time, one meeting at a time, one gesture at a time, one feeling at a time. We care for it like it's our own child. The anger rising in my heart, do I project it out into the world, or do I own it and recognize it as mine? It's mine. What will I do with this? What kind of world do I want to be in?